I'll see how far off the topic is. We don't have a topic yet, so that's why it's not a...
I was talking about the Shemlin and giving in the Sion that you can do, and if not, then all the way. Could it be that Hashem asks you to do something that you can't actually do? But the real sign is to see if you can handle the challenge.
Is that your question?
Yeah.
Okay, so let's talk about that subject.
If you will fail in, then to see how you handle the failure.
Okay.
Can you explain the question?
Yeah, I'll explain the question. We're learning the sugya of nisayonis, right? So let's at least get some clarity what a nisayon is. I think we mentioned it in passing a few times. It's a chapter in Rick Tappan's book, Living Inspired. It's a Living Inspired World Master. It's a fundamental yesod. It's a shiur of Moshe Shapiro, and it's a fundamental yesod in everything you go through life. I used to give the shiur when I was very involved in working for a tekufa with a friend of mine that had a drug rehab center. So I used to give Jewish spiritual groups in the center, and I used to give the shiur. This was the shiur I used to give in that environment. Can you pass a test or not? If Hashem tests you, can you pass the test or not? That's the question. We've seen conflicting views. On the one hand, you see that Hashem gives you a test, then of course if he gives you a test, you can pass it. Because if he gives you a test, you can't pass, he's just bashing you. That's not a test. Hashem asks you to do something you can't do, so you fail. So basically he's not testing you, he's failing you. And he's setting up for a failure. Right? And there may be a reason for him to do that, which is nichlal in your question. Does Hashem sometimes give us something to do that we can't do because there's a value in failing? You know? In answer to your question, we actually have to understand what a nisayon is. So there's some basic kashas and a fascinating insight and a very real practical halacha l'maisa that comes out of the sugya of nisayon if you understand it well. Those who've learned it or know it or whatever, we'll probably spend most of this vaad on this subject. The word nisayon, which is where you always have to go, if you want to understand something, you have to look at the word. Is made up of a root, as all Hebrew words are, nun samach, nes, which means a banner, and a flag, a banner, and it means a miracle, which means somehow there's something miraculous and there's something, public about a nisayon. There's something that there's a banner, there's a proclamation, and a miracle in a test. Just to understand, what is a test? So normally we understand a test like this is, I want to know how the guys are doing in class. So I give them a test to find out how they're doing. Why do I test you? To find out how you're doing. I don't know what you know. I want to know what you know. So I test you and I find out what you know. So why does Hashem test us then? Why does Hashem test Avram? He didn't know Avram was going to pass or fail. What does he do it for? It's a comedy because Hashem wants to know what's going on. Hashem knows what's going on. So then the territory is, it must be so that you can find out where you're holding. Yeshivas, why do we have tests in yeshivas? Not for the Rebbe. Right? Tests are generally a very non-Torah kind of concept. You know, tests in the Torah environment. So what do we use tests for today? We see that we are tests in the Torah environment. It's to let you know where you're holding. It's a way of you discovering what you know and what you don't know. Kids don't see it that way. But an adult, when an adult gets a test, he understands the test is for his good. It's an opportunity for him to discover what he knows and to brush up on his. If Kaplan gives you guys a worksheet, who's it for? It's not for him, I promise you. It gives you the opportunity to grow. Fine. If that's true, then where's the miracle and where's the banner in this? What's it got to do with Ness? What's it got to do with Nisayon? Question number one. Question number two is, when you get a Nisayon, can you pass or not? Can you pass the test or not? That's really what we're grappling with, right? So if you can't pass the test, it's not a test, you're just being bashed. And if you can pass the test, so then very good. You discovered, you found out what you know, but where's the miracle in that? You just did what you were capable of doing. If I ask you to stand up and you can't stand up, right? So you stood up. It was a test, you stood up. Fine. Now you know you can stand up. You didn't know you could stand up, but now you could. Could you stand up before you stood up? Yes. So you didn't do anything you couldn't do. So why is that a nice? Why is that a miracle? And what did that proclaim anyway? You just did something you could do. No proclamation there. So the answer usually given to that question is like this. you really, let's just use jumping as an example. You can jump 10 feet. You think you can jump 10 feet, right? But if you really get squeezed, you really get pushed, you could really jump 15 feet. You just don't know that you have that potential, right? So Hashem comes along to you and he says, listen, I want you to jump 15 feet. Wow, 15 feet. I mean, 10 I know I can do, but 15, wow, that's a big mitzvah. So he works hard and he pushes and he pushes and he pushes and he jumps 15 feet. Fine. He discovered a whole new lot of things about himself. Yeah. But let me ask you, could he jump 15 feet? Yeah. He had the abilities to jump 15 feet. He didn't do anything yet that he didn't have the koichos to do. He didn't know he had those koichos. Those were latent potential that he had, and the test just brought out that latent potential. But he could always do it. He didn't do anything miraculous. Huh? He just did what he could do. So where's the nisayon in that? There's a shtickle proclamation. There's a proclamation here that I didn't know, and now I know. Fine. So you know something about yourself you didn't know. That's usually how we relate to tests, by the way. That's how we relate to nisayonis. Well, I didn't know I had so much koichos in me. Well, I didn't know that I could. I didn't know I had nerves of steel like that. You know, well, I didn't know I could do that. But if you're honest with yourself, the truth is you could always do it. You just didn't know. But it was always nichlal in your potential. Right? Nothing miraculous took place here. Unless you've had a few things that you've done where you knew you couldn't do and you still did it. What's that about? I mean, Hashem does ask us to do things we can't do. That's the definition of a nisayon. And this nisayon is where Hashem asks you to do something that you actually cannot do. What's the point in that? That's just a bashing, right? So understand how it works. Let's say that you think you can jump 10. Potentially you have in you the ability to jump 15. But more than 15 you actually can't jump. Physically you can't jump more than 15. So Hashem comes to you and says, jump 20. It's impossible, right? So what does Hashem ask you to do? Jump. See how far you can go. So you push, you get to 11 and 12 and 13. Wow, you suddenly have all this new potential with you. Yeah. And you get to 15 and that's it. You know, you objectively know that you cannot go more than 15. So now watch, Maya. There are two things that can happen. Either Hashem will pick you up and take you to 20. That's the nice miracle. And a big proclamation, there's a big banner there, yeah? Or you'll fail 15, and you'll fail the test. Well, you want to fail the test. You'll have done everything that you were supposed to do, and Hashem said, fine, no more. Let's look at the first one first, it's easy to understand. Hashem asks you to jump to 20. You know that you're going to get to 10, but you discover on the way that you actually made it to 15, right? At 15, Hashem drags you across to 20. That's a miracle. And it's a miracle that proclaims Hashem in the world. You become a Merkava, you become a vehicle to reveal Hashem in the world. That's what when David HaMelech says to Hashem, why don't we say Elokei David? You know, we say Elokei Avram, Elokei Yitzhak, Elokei Yaakov. David HaMelech wants to know, why don't we say Elokei David? And he wasn't just being guarded. He knows that when Mashiach comes, there's got to be four corners of this chariot. Hashem's chariot has four corners. And one of them is David. So he wanted to know, why don't we say Elokei David? Why isn't your name and my name attached publicly, like Avraham Yitzchak and Yaakov is? So what's Hashem's answer to him? Because I haven't tested you. It means in order to have your name connected to Hashem's name, you need to undergo a nisayon. So David says, test me. So Hashem tests him with Bathsheba, and he failed. No, it's not a sin. We're not talking about whether it was a sin or not. It's a big discussion. Anyone who says David sinned is enough. Whatever. We're not saying he sinned. He got a nisayon and he failed in nisayon. Whether that was an aveira or not, we're not discussing. That's another discussion. We're just in the world of tests. He got a test and he didn't pass it. And that's why to this day we don't say, okay, David. Had he passed that test, which he couldn't, by the way, it was impossible for him to pass that test because he asked for it. If you ask for a test, there's almost no guarantee that you'll pass. So we don't ask for tests, even though they're good for us. We don't ask for a test. When you ask for a test, you kind of, it's like an obnoxious little kid, you know, who gets all the answers right. You have to ask him a question that he can't answer. Because if you ask him a very, very, very difficult question, and he answers it, you just make his problem even worse. So you have to ask him a question that he can't answer.
Correct.
We daven not to have misogynists. Pele Yotze, the Kasha, why? If they're so good for us, you should daven for them. So he explains the two types of nisayonis. that's not the point. But the point is it's from the place where we see what's pshat in Nisayon, David HaMelech failed the test. So there's two purposes in a test. One is obviously to reveal the koichos you already had, but that's not really what an Nisayon is. An Nisayon is to get you to do the impossible. I mean, I can't do the impossible. In Achinami, you have a partner. It's where you get Hashem to join you in your endeavor, and that reveals Hashem in the world, and that's a miracle. That's what a miracle is. So when Hashem asks us to do stuff that seems impossible, it is actually impossible. But you have to start anyway. Hashem says to Klal Yisrael, you see that sea, you know, the Red Sea, the Yam Suf? Start swimming. Now, Klal Yisrael couldn't swim. The problem wasn't, well, you know, that's quite a heavy swim, you know, across the channel, you know, okay, I'll start swimming, you know, I don't know how far I'll get, but, you know, maybe I'll get 200 meters, 300 meters, I'm going to start getting cramps. You're going to drop like a stone. These were slave kids in the deserts of Egypt, you know, Ramses, there weren't too many, you know, health and racket clubs where the Jews in the evening go practice their swimming skills. These guys couldn't swim. Hashem says, go into the Yam. So what did they do? They went in. So what happened? The sea split. That's called a nace. That's called a miracle. What was the miracle? Wasn't the sea splitting. The miracle was that Klal Yisrael went into the sea full well knowing they were about to drown to death. Hashem asked us to do the impossible. If Hashem helps you, can you do it? Of course. And if Hashem says no, like he says to David HaMelech, fine. But you have to do everything you can do. But Hashem either carries your cross, he doesn't carry your cross. Are you responsible for not getting from 15 to 20? No, because I couldn't do more than 15. But if you stop short at 14, you're high because you didn't do everything you could do. But the Mokabalim say that if you're in a test and you objectively know that you can't go any further, that's the end of the test. You've done everything you can do, the test's over. Either Hashem will strip you across or he won't. Whatever the multiple reasons are why you failed the test. Whatever that's called, failing a test.
That's on the Sunday that you meant to fail the test. You do
we'll see, we'll see. One second. Let's just get the clock. I'll look in that world as well. That's basically the same thing they say. In the drug world, that's what I used to say to God. Yeah, Hashem telling you stop using heroin. Stop using heroin. You know it's impossible. But do it anyway. How long do you have to stop for? Just for now. Stop now. Yeah, what about tomorrow? No one's asking you to stop for tomorrow. That's tomorrow's not your game. That's your game with now. Start, see what happens. Ah, it's impossible. Yes, either Hashem will step you across or he won't. You have to start. So with everything we get started. Everything. Everything. Don't get irritated with your kids at half past 10 at night and they're still not in bed. Okay. Yeah. Impossible. Yeah. So start. 1 minute, don't get irritated. 2 minutes, don't get irritated. Start little bit. Eventually, Hashem steps you across. And you know this. Anybody who's ever experienced this, anybody who's ever dealt with not necessarily chemical addiction, but we're all addicts to some avail or some negative traits or behavior or habits, whatever it is, will know that in order to successfully overcome that addiction, you need a miracle. It's usually impossible on your own. Anybody who's ever sensed that or has an experience of that knows what I'm talking about. If you haven't, well then you shouldn't have any tests. Okay. Now, the value in passing the test is gewaldic. We understand that. Because number one, you discovered a whole new level of potential that you didn't know you had. And number two is you discover how much a Kodesh Baruch Hu can help you do. If you do something impossible, imagine what that does for you. Imagine you suddenly realize, hey, I've got an Abba that helps me. Hashem loves me, cares for me, help me do something impossible. And you can start mamash relying on that. By the way, the Sforna says, the Radak, no, it's not the Sforna, the Radak says in Mishle, I can't remember the Pasuk now, that if a person thinks that he can do everything himself, so Hashem leaves him to his own devices. Hashem has a look at this guy and says, I don't see too much room for me in this guy's business. He's got all the bases covered, so he doesn't need me. So Hashem lets him run the business on his own, because we know what happens. If a guy sits around and says, I understand a little bit, but I really don't know what to do. Hashem has a look and says, well, there's a guy that really needs my help. You know, maybe I can help him. Now, Dick Horwitz is the chairman, the world chairman of Asia Torah International, or whatever. Very big, successful property businessman, Los Angeles, whatever. Got very involved with Asia Torah. Did amazing, amazing stuff. Does do amazing, amazing stuff. Someone else asked him how he got involved with Asia Torah. What keshet he led to Asia Torah. So he said he was looking for an organization to help. He wanted, you know, he got to a certain stage in his life. He wanted to do something for the Jewish people. But he couldn't make up his mind. He wasn't driven by a vision. He didn't like hospice or, you know, kiruv or whatever. He was looking for somebody to help. He didn't know who to help. So he once sent a donation to Asia Torah and he never ever got a receipt. So he decided that an organization that gets donations that doesn't give out receipts must really need some bad help, you know. So he needs some help quite badly. So he got involved in helping them. The same as Hashem. Hashem looks at us. If you can do everything spitz and everything's fine, so Hashem says, what do you need me for? You're managing well on your own. So manage on your own. Hashem sees the guy really struggling and battling, doesn't know what he's doing, he's tripping over his own feet or whatever. And the guy says, Hashem, help me. Of course Hashem will help you. It's a reduct in Mishnah. So that's really the sort of an issue. Hashem asks you to do something that's impossible. If you recognize it's impossible, but Hashem asks you to do it anyway, so you do it. Avraham Avinu on the Akedah. Avraham Avinu knew that he couldn't do the Akedah. He knew it was impossible. And not because he was worried about what people would say. The reason why Avraham Avinu couldn't do what Hashem asked him to do was because Avraham Avinu could not do something to negate the Rotzen Hashem. And killing Yitzhak was against the Rotzen Hashem, and he knew it, and he was right. Hashem said, I know, but do it anyway. Avraham Avinu had built himself into somebody that could not go against the Rotzen Hashem. He could only do the Rotzen Hashem. That's how he worked out the Torah for himself. He knew what Hashem wanted, and he knew that Hashem wanted Yitzhak to live. So Hashem says, I know, but kill him anyway. So Avraham is on his way to do the Akedah, knowing that he can't do it. But he does it anyway. Mordechai Miller explains Pshat in the Akedah that way. That's a different kind of tease on. And that's why Avraham Avinu becomes one of the makabit. He becomes the vehicle that Hashem drives to the world. When you look at Avraham Avinu, you see Hashem. So Gemara by Shimon ben Shetach with the Arab, when he bought the donkey and they found the diamond on the donkey's neck. And he went to give it back to the Arab, even though his Talmidim told him, Al-Pi-Aloch, he didn't have to give it back. And he went and gave it back to the Arab. And the Arab says, Baruch Elokei Shimon ben Shetach. Doesn't say, blessed is Shimon ben Shetach. The Arab understands the only reason why Shimon ben Shetach could do this is because there's a God in the world. A guy doesn't have a God, doesn't return a multi-million dollar stone to an Arab that he doesn't have a Chev Alachli to return. Why I returned it is because I bought a donkey, not a diamond. It's unethical, I can't do such a thing. Yeah? So the guy, the Arab himself turns around and says, Baruch Elokei Shimon ben Shetach. Shimon ben Shetach is Megal Hashem in the world. He's not Megal Shimon ben Shetach. That only somebody who has a God could do something that ethical and moral. That's what we're supposed to be doing in the world. We're supposed to be so ethical and moral and correct and appropriate in our action that people say, sure, that guy must have, that guy's something, that guy's got something else that I don't have. Yeah? It's not shaykh to be that without, only Hashem could demand that of a person. See, Megal Hashem in the world, that's the nisoy. Having said that, so then why does Hashem get us to fail tests sometimes? Yeah? So I think the most classic place to look for that is the David HaMelech scenario, which we alluded to before. There could be in a person's makeup a need for him to not pass the Nisayon, but at the same time learn from the Nisayon and enhance his relationship with the Kol Bochum via the failing the test, which is exactly what David HaMelech. That's what David HaMelech. And David HaMelech, by failing the test, we got the whole Sefer Tehillim because of that. We got a whole new David HaMelech. Had David HaMelech passed that test, what would have been? He would never have realized something very acutely important for him to realize. What was that? So yes, understand. We don't understand when we talk about the sins of the ancients. We know what we're talking about. But the nature, the definition, what David HaMelech is in the world is another. David HaMelech is Mashiach. Mashiach is Malchus, and Malchus is Lesley de Garmi Klum. David HaMelech represents that thing in the world which has nothing of its own. It's Shabbos, it's always the seventh in the cycle. It's a concept of David HaMelech didn't even have his own years. David HaMelech didn't even have his own life. He borrowed 70 years from Adam Arisha. Because he didn't have his own life. He has nothing of his own. He's Kulu for Hashem. The word David is made up of Dalad, Vav, Dalad. Dalad means dull, which means poor. Yeah, means he has nothing of his own. Vav is the connection, is that which connects you to Hashem. He sees and connects the Kosh Bochu perfectly, and he stays Dalad. He stays with nothing of his own. It's all for Hashem. Who's his arch enemy? Gog. What's Gog? Gog is Gimel, which is Gvir, which is much. Yeah? Gashmir. Gash means lots and lots and lots. He connects to Hashem, he has an experience of the ultimate reality, and he stays Gimel. He stays full of himself and bloated. That's the Milchama between Mashiach and God, is to know that I'm Kuluya, David Melech was totally involved in the world, killing his enemies, fighting, whatever, totally involved in the world, completely involved. I want to say something with the truth. Dalit also means before, that means physicality. It means the four directions, right? Dominic was completely involved in the physical world, connected to the Kadosh Baruch Hu, and stayed completely in the physical world, but it was all connected to Hashem. He had nothing of his own. Yes? Even when he was killing and winning wars or whatever, he knew that was Kula Hashem. So Gemara, that proves what I'm saying. Anyway. So in Dovid HaMelech was lacking a certain dimension on his level of that aspect of Anava. For him to say, test me, yeah, was a lack of Anava, was a lack of on his high level of Anava. For us, that kind of gaiva would be called Anava. But on his level, he has to be the purest form of Anava there is. So Hashem had to break that. It was lacking in Dovid HaMelech this aspect of Leslek the Rami Klum. There was a little aspect of himself, test me. There was a little bit of me in Dovid HaMelech's makeup. Mashiach can't have that. Mashiach has to be cool and non-existent. Yeah? So Dovid HaMelech has to fail the test in order to do tshuva, to change that character trait in himself. That's what the failure does. It's a spurring to change and improve and do tshuva. That's why sometimes you have to fail the test. There are other reasons as well, I'm sure, but I'm just saying, learning out from what happened with Dovid HaMelech, what we can learn from Chazal, is an achinami. You have to be able to fail the test. So in real life, halacha lamaisa, you have to know, when we're asked to do things that are really difficult, that are really tough, that are really sometimes, you know, you feel like you're going to the edge, you are. You've been pushed to an edge. You've been pushed into a place that you didn't know you could go, but you're also being asked to go to a place where you can't go. But if Hashem takes you with, then you can go anywhere. If Hashem asks you to do it, and Hashem will help you, you can go anywhere. There's no holds barred. You can achieve anything. That's the chizuk, that's what an essay is. So you never give up. Because you know that if Hashem will help you, you can do it. What's the problem?
Go for the question.